When Scripture commands us to love God and love others, including the unlovely, is that something we can choose to do? Or is such love simply a gift of God? Welcome to The Good Word. We continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. My conversation partners again today are Aline Bauer and Paul Dibdahl. Welcome to both of you. These are both fellow teachers of mine in the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Let's pick up that first question that we opened with. Can we choose to love, or is it something that just happens as a result of God's grace?
I think the thought or text that comes to mind relating to that question is John's comment that we love because he first loved us. And so I think I'm not sure that we choose to love others first. I think we have to choose to love God first, a response to his love, because then it is his love that hopefully enables us to respond to others with that same type of love.
Now, if the system is working the way we have described it, then love ought to just automatically flow, and we should never have to make any hard decisions, right?
It's both, isn't it? Not one or the other. It's something that should spring from deep within as a kind of response to living in the love of God, experiencing God's love for us. But I still think that often it's a choice that we make to act in certain ways with charity toward other people, even if we don't feel like it. I think of this as a parent. I didn't have to work to love my children. I really did love them, and I realize now I'm mixing maybe a different kind of love. But didn't have to work to love my children. But still, there were times when they were young, deep in the night, when it wasn't just a natural thing for me to leap from bed to go in to see why they were crying. You have to consciously even force yourself to do certain things, even though you do love them.
Yeah,
so both. That's a long way of saying I think it's both a conscious choice as well as just a gift of God that comes to us.
Well, and even before Paul lists all the gifts of the spirits, he talks earlier in the chapter that there is a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And I think that's encouraging for those who do struggle sometimes with these.
Yeah. Oh, he's just very blunt. You mentioned it here, verse 17. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. It's almost as if the two are just standing there grinning at one another, simply saying, oh, you're in a hammerlock now. You can't do it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. That intrigues me a great deal. He's not denying the law, but he's suggesting that when we are led by the Spirit, then we're not aware of the condemnatory nature of law. And I know in my experience, I'm just so incredibly grateful when my actions flow naturally from gratitude. It's just a lot easier than when I have to say, well, this is something that I need to do. I will do it simply because it's my Christian duty.
Well, I think that's why Paul was so upset with the Galatians for wanting to go back under that condemning influence of the law rather than the freedom of love that he says you can find in the Spirit.
Of course, in some ways, the religious life, and this puzzles me a great deal, but in some ways, religious people are inclined to make a checklist of manageable things where they can check off. The most difficult law of Scripture is to love others the way I would want to be loved if I were in your place. That is the one that almost all of us tend to avoid. So if that's where we're really going, then we need to be led by the Spirit, and that's a real challenge. Now, I'd like to point out here a little book, C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves, in which he talks about four different kinds of love. Only two of these are prominent in the New Testament, but he talks about the three natural loves: affection, which takes place largely within families, then friendship, between friends, eros, the sexual side. Those are the natural ones, he says. And then there is agape, or charity, which is the divine love. Now, I would be interested in your reactions. Why is it that the New Testament never really commands us to be worried about or to do those three human ones, but it always zeroes in on agape?
Well, I wonder if it is because I think agape, more than any of the other loves, is more a choice of the will. It doesn't... It's wonderful when it involves the emotions, but it's there even when the emotions are not there. It's I continue to choose to love, just as so maybe that's part of it. I'm not sure.
Well, it seems to me like in your question, maybe you hinted at the answer. Those three are called the natural loves, right? Mm-hmm. Those are things which, as humans, most of us at least don't have to struggle to try to care about our family members, friendship or eros. That's not a struggle for us. So no need to admonish someone or try to encourage someone to experience or feel something that they naturally feel.
Mm-hmm.
Bible doesn't encourage us to be hungry, because that's something that happens naturally for us.
Now, let me ask another question right on the heels of that. Is it possible for each of those three natural loves to be carried to extreme? And then the flip side of that, is it possible to carry agape to extremes?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes to the first one. I'll let Paul answer the second one.
To carry agape to the extreme. I don't think so.
Wouldn't a example of extreme agape love be the cross? I mean,
wouldn't say that's inappropriate.
That's right.
We would say it'd be the right thing.
Yes, and so that's why I'm thinking maybe I'll let you finish your question, Paul. But
you're doing good. Keep it up.
You're doing very well. Well, it may be that agape, in its perfection, gets the balance just right. Mm-hmm. See, the others are never really balanced. You know, you can carry any one of those to extreme. Mm-hmm. But agape, by its very nature, is one that senses the needs.
And I wonder if the closer we get to getting the agape love right, the other loves, I think, are, I hate to use the word perfected, but in going in the right direction, and we don't have the imbalance in them that we might otherwise.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point, that when agape is in order, that tends to bring the other natural things in life as well.
Right.
Now, there's a story that Jesus tells. In fact, when he's in conversation with a man, you know, what am I supposed to do? Love your neighbor? Well, who is my neighbor, he says. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and it's ironic that Jesus chooses a Samaritan to the one who does the good deed. Now, let's imagine just a little bit the Good Samaritan. What is likely to have been his thought process when he came by and saw this man who had been wounded? Now, we know a little bit about the thought process of the priest and the Levite. They immediately said, rather not, and they went on.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you imagine took place in the heart of the Samaritan? Jesus doesn't tell us a lot. He just tells us the result. But what do you think went through?
Well, he would likely recognize the danger of stopping a dangerous area, and here's someone who's just been beaten up by thieves. The same thing could happen to him. So the danger to himself, and the recognition that this is not another Samaritan, but this is someone who likely, someone who does not care for him, who even hates him. But then that would be overcome by the recognition of this man's need.
Mm-hmm.
So his focus would be less on some benefit that he would gain, not on his own safety, but rather the ultimate good of this man who's lying by the road, left for dead even. Is that what you meant when you said likely to go through?
Well, and I would like to think that perhaps there was enough agape love in here that the barriers between races, like Paul says earlier, in Christ, no male or female, Jew or Greek, and slave or free. And perhaps this Samaritan had reached the place where he saw this person as a child of God rather than not fitting into my category.
And in fact, I think there's a reason why Jesus is telling the story, made that contrast deliberately, because sure. the one issue that the New Testament really tries to come to grip with is racism,
mm-hmm.
the Jew-Gentile. And mm-hmm. you read the rest of the New Testament, that is not easy.
Right.
It's just really
well, it's not, it's racism, but it's also religious, mm-hmm. you know, religious yeah. prejudice between groups.
Right.
That, yeah. that the New Testament works with, I think.
Now, if we imagine this, if his heart is right with God, would it come closer to being spontaneous so that when he sees this, there would be an almost instantaneous response? Now, let me just give you a bit of a background here. Recently, I was impressed with how Jesus flies in the face of health regulations. His first miracle is touching a leper.
Mm-hmm.
He allows the woman with the issue of blood to touch him. He goes and touches the corpse. I mean, this is right early in Jesus' ministry. All three of those would represent a flying in the face
mm-hmm.
of Old Testament laws. And we would say there are health implications of that, but Jesus didn't worry about that. And so likewise, the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. he simply, this man needs help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many robbers there are out there, mm-hmm. I'm going to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way we should be living?
Yeah. Yes. Isn't it? Did I miss something in the question? Or?
No.
Absolutely.
So. It is, but I like what you said, Alden, or, and you alluded to it too, Paul, is that he had to be aware that those robbers sure. weren't too far away. And I think sometimes we always think about the motorist stop by the side
right.
of the road or this. And in our society and world today, our own safety often comes into it.
Yeah.
And
now, let me come back to the practical question. And we've asked this before and we'll ask it again. How do I build up my agape love or God's agape love or however you want to put that? How do I make this happen?
I thought Aline did a nice job of responding to that right near the beginning, quoting from John, right, about
mm-hmm.
We love because
he
God, has
yeah.
first loved us. And I'm not sure another way to build up agape love except for that kind of what?
Yeah, and in practical ways, it means spending time each day focusing on that love, dwelling on that love, recognizing how loved I am by God, mm-hmm. and hopefully that then changes my heart to an ability to love others in a way that I wouldn't otherwise do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still think it involves gritting our teeth sometimes, though. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
maybe abiding in God's love, recognizing that gives me the ability when I face that decision. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to, but I'm called to do this. I grit my teeth. I choose to love.
Right.
And
I think that's worthwhile saying because I think sometimes Christians can be very discouraged because they don't feel like
right.
it. And so am I really a follower of Christ? Am I really growing when I don't feel like it? So that's encouraging, Paul.
And I think that's where we see a real difference between philia love, friendship, and agape. Agape is not bear hug kind of love. It's treating others with respect, so it doesn't necessarily involve the flow of emotions. Well, there were several other questions I wanted to ask, but I'm going to leave those another time. I want to thank my conversation partners, Lee and Paul, and they will be with us again next week. Next week, we'll be talking about the next fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in with a good word. I'm Alden Thompson. One of the pieces of good news about the Good Word is that you can listen to it again if you want. You can go to the Positive Life Radio website, plr.org, under Programs, listed Good Word. There you can tap in, and you can listen to your heart's content. You can also order a CD for it. All of that is available at the plr.org Positive Life Radio website.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.